Well, my next guest is quite familiar with the President of the United States, quite intimately acquainted with the investigation by now former Special Counsel Robert Mueller as well. He watched with great interest yesterday as to what was going on Capitol Hill. But strangely enough, when his name was mentioned, it didn't seem that Robert Mueller knew who he was. Corey Lewandowski joining me now. He is a political commentator and operative, and he was Donald Trump's campaign manager from January of 2015 until June of 2016. Corey, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
And in case you missed it, I want to take a little trip back to Capitol Hill yesterday. David Cicilline of Rhode Island asking Bob Mueller about Corey Lewandowski, about you. He didn't seem to know who you were. It's very confusing to me. It's Byte 16, if you would, guys. Go ahead and roll it. We going to get that? 16. All right, we're going to skip that. We're going to skip that.
You guys don't know who I am either. You're like Bob Mueller over there. What's going on?
All right, I don't know, Corey. I don't know what's going on. It's not rolling. So it is. He forgot where he was. Bob has no idea. But you saw that yesterday. Bob Mueller didn't know who you were.
Well, look, I love that because clearly it goes to show a couple important things. Number one, Bob Mueller was not running the investigation. He's clearly a figurehead. And what we saw was the 12 angry Democrats that he chose were running the day-to-day operations, and he put his name on a report, which I don't even know if he fully read. That's number one. Number two, you know, this notion that there was obstruction committed by people around the president, me being one of them, Don McGahn, is clearly a fallacy, because if that was the whole underlying premise of this, Bob Mueller would have at least understood what my name was, and I'm glad that he didn't know my name, but I guess that also means he didn't read any of my books.
Well, yeah, apparently he hasn't read your books, and that's a little off-putting, but we'll get back to that. But, Corey, as you looked, I mean, it was pretty obvious early on. This is the analogy I used. Jerry Nadler got Bob Mueller to say right off the top, no, it does not exonerate the president. No, it doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong, or however you want to paraphrase that. It's like a football team coming out and scoring on the first drive, and that's the end of it, because the route was on. Bob Mueller seemed confused. He contradicted his own report. He said things that made no sense whatsoever. He couldn't tell the difference between conspiracy and collusion. And when asked about it, he said, are they the same? No. And then, you know, Doug Collins goes, now, wait a second. On page 180, it's quite clear that's what you're right. And he's like, and from there, really, the route was on, Corey. It was embarrassing and hard to watch.
It really was. So Doug Collins, Jim Jordan, and Matt Gaetz, you know, made Bob Mueller look foolish during that first part of the committee hearing. They asked some questions that were fairly simplistic. He didn't know the answers. And the most troubling part was when the independent Congressman Welch from Vermont actually was talking to Mueller and was trying to help him, Bob Mueller couldn't remember the word collusion. It's a pretty big word that's been thrown around a lot. And it took him 45 seconds probably to try and come up with that term. And then Welch finally said, are you thinking of the word collusion? He said, yes. And he said, well, I'll help you with it. So clearly, Bob Mueller, and I understand what it's like because I've done this, to go through the committee hearings, to sit there for 6-7 hours and answer questions. It's a gauntlet. But Bob Mueller, not versed in the findings of his own report. I don't believe he led the investigation.
I don't believe he did either.
It was very clear from the questioning that he did not understand what was fully transpiring there.
That's quite clear. Corey Lewandowski here with us on the program. One of the things that was talked about that I thought was also very telling, Congressman Greg Stube, that is, asking Mueller about interviewing for the job of FBI director the day before he was chosen to lead this investigation. And he said, well, I didn't interview for the job. And he goes, now, wait a second. Didn't you tell Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, that's the one job you would come out of retirement for, and that's what you wanted? And he's like, and he gets confused again. You think you would remember if you interviewed to be the FBI director, don't you?
Well, in that same line of questioning, if you remember it, they asked him a couple times, did you have conversation with Rod Rosenstein? Did you talk to him on this day? He says, no. And they said, you mean no, you didn't have a conversation? He says, I don't remember. How do you not remember having a phone conversation? Look, I'll just tell you this. If that was me and I went up and said, I don't remember having phone conversations with the president, I would be vilified on MSNBC and CNN. I'd be called a liar.
Yes.
And, you know, they'd be saying to prosecute me. But Bob Mueller didn't remember phone conversations or meetings he had. You know, I really think that, you know, either he has a medication issue or there is, and I don't mean this in a pejorative sense, there is an issue there that the American people are not aware of that it was part of the reason why he was so obtuse yesterday.
Well, here's the, and Corey, you know, and I'm going to be fair here, all right? We always are. Bob Mueller served this country well for many decades, whether in Vietnam as a Marine, which is great, as the FBI director, I believe, for 13 years after his stay was extended. But I think one of the most telling moments for me was when there's some Democrat member of the House, some throwaway, giving him a bunch of softball questions, you know, telling him how great he is, you know, patting him on the back, rah, rah, rah. And of course, you know, you remember the first president appointed you to U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts. And he said, Senator, who? George Bush? Ronald Reagan appointed Bob Mueller to be the U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts. He didn't remember that. And for me, that moment right there says to me, was Bob Mueller competent through any of this? Not only was he not in charge, it doesn't appear, of the investigation, wasn't familiar with the report, 448 pages that was put out with his name on it, it makes me wonder if he's competent at all. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying that based on how do you not remember that Ronald Reagan appointed you U.S. attorney?
Well, you're right. And there were so many points during the hearings yesterday combined where they asked him a question. He said, well, I can't speak to that. And they said, well, it's on page 97 of the report. He said, well, it must be true.
Right.
So they asked him a series of questions about things. Why didn't you charge this person? Why didn't you do that? And one of the questions that Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida asked him was, you know, why didn't you look into this? He said, well, it predated me. And he said, well, the Paul Manafort Russia, you know, work predated you also. And Bob Mueller just looked like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And they had to keep reminding him what was in the report.
And remember,
Corey. And he kept saying, is that in the report? Well, if it is, then it must be true.
Right. And remember this.
Speak to that.
This is a guy who has testified before Congress more than 600 times. This is not like it's his first time on the Hill. He's been
right
there more than most people will ever be there because of the different positions he's held in government. And so that's why I come back. Was he competent during any of it? A bit rhetorical. Hold that thought there. I know you're on your way to the symposium at the Wall, a big event going on today and for the next couple of days in New Mexico. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but give the folks a preview. What is this symposium at the Wall? We got about 30 seconds before we hit this break, Corey.
Well, we're going to bring people down to highlight the fact that the taxpayers haven't been able to get this done. So we're going to build a wall with private funds on private land to make sure that we're preventing people from coming in this country illegally. That's what we're going to spend the next 2 days talking about down in New Mexico.
All right, we'll come back and we'll cover more of that in just a moment. Corey Lewandowski here, the one-time campaign manager for Donald Trump from mid-2015 to mid-2016, sorting out the Bob Mueller testimony on Capitol Hill. More with Corey right after this.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber has been the state's leading business advocacy organization for the past 60 years. Every day we work with state lawmakers in Lansing to promote and support policies that are essential for job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise. Our advocacy team defends business interests and actively promotes pro-business legislative initiatives. Whether it's education, environment, healthcare, or infrastructure, we are committed to standing up for all businesses, large and small. The Michigan Chamber delivers powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. We are proud to be the leading voice for business in Michigan.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
She'll drive.